I'm Wes Shank, the host of the Missouri Wind and Solar Podcast, coming to you from our store in Seymour, Missouri. We hope you'll enjoy our discussions on renewable energy and the products that make that possible. Thank you for downloading our podcast, and we hope you'll subscribe. Thank you for joining us today. I've got Alex Collin. He's been with us before. He's our sales manager here at Missouri Wind and Solar. I've also got one of our salespeople here with us today, Sean Roy. Sean is also I'm going to let Sean do this. Actually, we just had this discussion, but I'm going to let Sean say it right. Sean is an electrician.
I'm also a residential and commercial wireman. So about 4 years in the business being a wireman.
So he's been a real asset to have on our sales team. Actually, if you listen to our previous podcast, he has also done a lot of time, and I use that phrase real specifically, doing time out in the shop. Yeah. I'm doing the builds. If you listen to us in our podcast, our last podcast, where we were out with Matt and Wyatt doing some builds, Sean's done a lot of builds out there also. What we wanted to come in and talk about today, at least it's our starting subject, wherever we end up, that's always interesting where things go versus where they're planning to start. I think one of the things that comes up a good deal is customers either having or not having, but at least a starting point as to try and understand what they want to do with their power that they're going to generate. You want to call us up and generate power for your whole house. That's a whole lot different than if you have a fifth wheel and you want to make sure you can run your microwave. And what would you say? Yeah, we're getting a lot of nods. You can't see nods on a podcast. Okay. We talked about this. We were talking about this the other day. I've got a face that's designed for podcasting. we can't do video maneuvers on a podcast. But
most of the people that come in, they'll come at you with, "Oh, I've got a 1,200 square foot house. What do you think it's going to take?" That's a loaded question. We can't answer that,
right? Really.
I've seen people in a 3,000 square foot house use less than somebody in a 600 square foot house. It's really, we've got to go off of a power number, or if you know the size of the appliance, how much it draws, we can figure exactly what it would take. And geographic location has a lot to do with how much power you're
getting. Because if you're heating, cooling.
Yep.
What would be good to know calling in so we can have an informed, I always end our podcast, buy stuff from us. That's what we're about. We want people to buy products from us, but I always want to be, especially in this day and age with Google and everything you could do your research on the web, to be the best informed buyer that you can be. How do I become the best buyer? I mean, we're sitting here with my tablet running. I've got a monitor running. I've got a router running. The AC's not running right now. So how do I start deciding how much power and how is that even in like a relationship to how much it's going to cost me to put a system together?
So if you know the appliance and you're just trying to pinpoint certain appliances, we've got that kilowatt meter. You basically plug it into the wall outlet, you plug into that, your appliance into that, it tells you, it'll monitor for a 24-hour period how much power that thing's drawing. So that's a good option if you're looking to pinpoint an appliance, like I want to take my fridge and freezer off grid or something like that. You'd plug those into a kilowatt meter. That kilowatt meter will tell you exactly how much power you need 24 hour period. And then we would basically size off of that. Maybe go a little bit higher. You generally size higher than what the appliance calls for.
Okay. So if I'm looking at that and what's a fridge is, if I remember all of my learning that I've been having going on and doing these podcasts is, so a fridge is basically what, 300 watts? I mean, give or take. I mean, it's a number to talk about.
Yeah, it just depends.
Just sitting here talking, so 300. Let's say 300 watts.
Yeah.
And so we're talking. It takes 300 watts a
day.
A day.
Yeah. When they size those appliances, all your major appliances in the home, they are sized watt per day.
Okay. So if we're looking at a refrigerator, we've got a 300 watt refrigerator, that's per day. Now, I take over to our website, and I go on our website, and I'm looking at one of the simple components, an inverter. And I've got a 2,000 watt inverter. What's my apples to apples or apples to oranges here that I'm talking about?
Normally you'd size, it depends on the appliance per se, because some appliances have a big surge rating. Refrigerators, they have a good size surge rate. So you want to size for at least what that appliance comes
at. But the inverter's got a surge rating too on it, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's something you'd also look at that. You don't want to
match. Right, never a good idea.
Yeah, you're not going to get the lifetime.
So if I have a 2,000 watt inverter, is that, are we talking day there? Or are we talking 2,000 watts an hour? Or are we talking about?
At any given time. At any given time, that inverter can invert 2,000 watts. And if you think of a regular household outlet, it's about 1,500 watts output. So you can kind of judge what.
Maybe I need to back it and dumb it down some more. If I'm adding up appliances, okay, and let's say I'll go out there because the inverter we were using in that build the other day is a 2,000 watt inverter with a 4,000 watt surge. Okay, so if I got 2,000 watts and now I'm gonna put a 300 watt refrigerator on there, then does that mean I've got 1,700 more that I could start minusing off? Until I get to the point, and I know I've got a lot more that I've got to build onto that inverter. I mean, I've got to put my power, whatever's going to generate that. But is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be 300 watts taken away from it.
Okay, so I've got 1,700 more watts. I can go through my house with my kilowatt and figure out this, and this. Now, what you're saying is I don't need to be at $19.99.
Right.
That's not smart.
Right, yeah.
But that gives me something to work with. Okay. So that's a great way of handling that. So when you're looking at that, and this is a great question coming back over here to our electrician. So when I'm looking at that, then if I dial that back into how I'm wanting to like power my house and all, how does that relate then back to choosing like a circuit in the house? So can I?
Well, realistically, if you have the availability for 20 amps for the entire house, now that's each item, you know, you could have a light in the bedroom and a ceiling fan in the living room running and the TV running. So you'd be using that 20 amps throughout the house and, or, you know, in a small set location like a garage. So you're using it to power your skill saw, do this. As far as your handiwork, you want to take all that off the grid. So depending on your demand, you know, like he said with the 2,000 watt, it is roughly, as far as Alex said, it is roughly a 20 amp circuit. So same thing with the household circuit. They are a 15 amp breaker, so they are 1,500 watts capable. Now that being said, just all your appliances throughout the house, once you find your wattage rating, you'll most definitely be able to tap everything off and know that you're not going to use everything at the same time. You'll never have everything running at the same time. Most people standardly turn off the light switch when they're walking out the room. So just in reference to being a power saving person or power friendly or power using person, especially from a bank of batteries.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, the amp side of this.
Mm-hmm.
15 amps, pretty standard for household
every
box, right?
Yeah, every wall, every light, every item in the house is standardly on a 15 amp circuit. Now, it's not just one 15 amp circuit. They are judged based off of, let's say, well, when you actually judge a house, every receptacle is one, and you get 15 total. So standardly you do 12 total, because that would keep you at the 85% mark from 15. So you get to count 12 receptacles, and lights are considered a half as far as judging for the power usage of the house. So if you actually go back to your panel and you open it up and you see you've got four 15 amp breakers, a couple 20 amp breakers, a 30 amp breaker, and a 50 amp breaker, and then you have your main disconnect of, you know, 100 or 150 or even more of the standard homes in America are running an actual 200 amp panel in the house. Now that means you have the availability for that power. It doesn't mean that you're ever really, you know, going to be using it all, but you have the availability for it. So like I said, you'll have just a few breakers in there, and you'll have those all on 15. So every one of those items, you know, you can do, well, like Alex was saying with the kilowatt meter, you can basically find out exactly what that circuit, so you could turn off that one circuit, go around the house and find out every one of those items that was on that circuit, and then you could judge with that kilowatt meter everything that's on that circuit, and then you could do the next circuit, and then you could do the next circuit, and then you could find out exactly where all of those breakers are going, as well as the power usage for pretty well your entire house. You can make an line item list, find out exactly what you're using. So.
Okay, so I've got a question for that. So I've mentioned on the podcast before, we live part-time in Georgia, part-time in Missouri. So we have the hurricanes come through. Yeehaw. And I know we always would say get a qualified electrician. So assuming that, if we were to get a powerful enough inverter, okay, so first off, we get a properly sized inverter, so 2,000 watt inverter, what do they run up that we carry in stock?
Oh, price wise or
no, watt wise.
Watt wise, anything from 1,500 up to 12,000.
I mean, okay,
we've got a huge range of inverters. You can stack some of the inverters to get even okay. more power out of
so, them. So let's just say I am preparing for the next hurricane. Don't necessarily want to take the whole house off grid because, as we know, or at least I know, because I've wanted a wind turbine at my house in Georgia for years, and Jeff has always said no, even though his daughter is married to me, he's like, I'll give you a wind turbine, but it's just going to sit out there because we don't have the wind down there. So trying to get my house totally off grid would be real challenging. We'd have to do solar, and then I've got a ton of trees. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there. So, but just if I wanted to come in and say, take two of my circuits, so two 15 amps, mm-hmm. could I identify two of those 15 amp circuits, and could I put one like this, if we had this 2,000 watt inverter on it, could I put that on those two circuits properly?
What I've kind of deduced with the, we have, like Alex said, we have that 12,000 watt inverter, the 12K, so realistically it's 120 amps coming out, available. Now split leg, it is a split leg device, so you can have L1, L2, so you could do 240 device. If you step back and just have a standard L1 device, so it only gives you one phase, so you get 120 volts out of it. You can pull off of that inverter into its own panel, and you can move those circuits from your normal house panel over to the secondary panel and know that everything in this panel is running off of just the inverter, so it's completely backed up. So what we try to do is get people to take off the refrigerator, the deep freezer, a string like the living room, because you know it'd be nice to have some lights in the living room or have some communal area for everybody to gather, and also a bathroom circuit, so that way you can power the bathroom, you can see in the bathroom, you know, and have that availability. Another point we've had with people is make sure your storm cellar is in this circuit too as well. I mean, you might have just a little fan and a light bulb out there, but you know, I'd like to have that storm shelter working if, you know, things really do go downhill and you have to hit the dirt. So, you know, get into your bunker.
But could you have that single inverter on two 15 amp?
Yes.
Okay. And what would happen though if you tried to pull that 2001, that 2001st watt, what would the inverter do?
The inverter would try to surge up for maybe 20 seconds, then shut down. I'd probably go with a 3,000 watt inverter or something like that.
I guess my point is, if you try to consistently pull, would the inverter just shut down,
yep,
period?
It would just shut down.
It would go into, does it go into a rest mode or is it a protective?
It's a protective mode. Basically, it just shuts itself off and then you have to go back and reset.
Okay.
And that's generally because of a heat buildup. You know, so it's been sitting there running pretty well maxed out and you've created a bunch of heat in there, and it gets to that point and it just says, okay, I have to cool off, and it turns itself off.
Okay. So bad timing, but a good thing.
Yes. It's protection.
I have a question. I was doing some handiwork with my father-in-law, and when we were going through some of the circuits, I noticed that there was, on most of the smaller circuits, it was like 6 lights and 2 receptacles. Is there a rule of thumb as far as
went back to with, you know, you usually have, you know, 8 receptacles and then, you know, a light and a ceiling fan, you know, for like a master bedroom is usually on its own circuit, and then you have the 2 smaller bedrooms on their own, on a single circuit, so both those 2 bedrooms are on one, you know. So you get the point where you get, like Alex is saying, just a couple small, you know, items on one circuit, and, you know, it's kind of self-defeating because it's not sized right. You know, you've got way less as far as what can be on that, you know, as far as how many devices you could plug in, and, you know, having all those openings to be plugging into, which would be a standard, you know, 8 to 12 items that you can plug in. But when, like Alex is saying, whether it's got like 6 or a couple, it is most definitely okay. It's not, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, you just know that you can realistically pull a little bit more power in that location without hurting the other devices. So standardly on inverters, you will see, like Alex said, they'll just literally shut down. But when you do start getting to their taxing end, you might actually see like the lights dim a little. It's called a brownout. So your voltage has dropped, but your amperage goes up. So so you're no longer at, you know, say 115, you went down to 108. And the inverter has to surge back up for a moment, and that's partly the reason why you see the lights dim in the house every once in a while, just a little bit, is because somebody down the line or somewhere around the line turned something major power hog on, and it caused, you know, the entire small little city of Seymour to dim for a moment.
The squirrels didn't catch up with that, did they? Yeah. They had to run a little faster.
So, you run, know, you'll boys, see run. That, you'll see the whole, you know, like the entire town dim for a moment, and that's what happens when you see that, is the voltage actually went down, and what it tried to do to compensate was push more amperage in, you know. But that's the reason why these inverters do finally say, okay, I can't do this anymore, and they shut down, is that is what actually happens, is they get to that point where they can't draw any more amperage to make that 120 volt field, and it starts to fall, and it starts to fall, and it finally gets down to 115, and it gets down to 110, and then it says, okay, no more, I can't play this game, and it stops.
So I've got another question for you. Now, this is one I could probably answer myself with a kilowatt, but I have been curious about this. So in the grand scheme of doing these calculations and overall, in today's environment in your home, I mean, almost, I will say this, outside of the kitchen and outside of a lamp, almost nothing seems to be geared toward 110, right? I mean, your computer.
Other way around. Everything is geared to 110. It's not geared to 240 here in America.
No, but oh. I know where I'm coming from is, nothing on my computer, it's all stepped down to some
12 volt or 20, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you know, that is not plugged. My computer right there is not straight into the wall. It's going through some type of conversion.
That little pack down there on the floor that's converting.
So my question here is, when you're doing this calculation, all, is that really pulling?
The final end product, if you know, that little power pack that's connected to the computer, if it says that we pull, you know, 192 watts, that's per hour, you know, or like that little pack right there probably says about 120, you know, watts per hour. So what it does is it takes that 110 field, and most of these computers now are running at 18, 19 volts. So it takes that field, compresses it, they get the more amperage out of it as to which can power the device. So they're still going to DC. All these components here are all going to DC to convert to actually use the power. Your TV, your computer, every single piece of gut in your computer runs off of DC. None of it is AC power. Same thing with, you know, your refrigerator. The only thing that's in there that's AC is the compressor. I mean, yeah, you've got all the little fancy-dancy lights and digital displays on them now and all that fun stuff, but most of those, including the ones with the TV screens, they are all DC. They step down so that way they can get to the realm of power that they're using. And everything in the world is your AC unit over there. The display on it is DC. It's not AC. The guts in it, the compressor, the fan, and the squirrel cage fan that's inside the unit, you know, blowing air at you, those are all 110, but the actual component that you can click the button and change the temperature on, that's DC. So everything that we're using, even most of your motors and any of your components, your speakers, they're all DC transform step down. They just don't require very much power. So it's good for having AC power to step down and use that and make the amperage to make them work.
But the sad thing is because what I now know from all of my learning that's happening with the podcast is we're losing efficiency because all those things are hot. Every one of those get hot, and so we know that the most efficient way to dump electricity is through heat.
Yeah, and that's what these guys do. They make heat. Well, I mean, most all power conversions, you lose 15%, and that's giving you a good number. Some motors can be anywhere from, you know, 15% would be 85% efficiency as far as 1 watt of power coming in, creating 1 usable joule of power coming out. So it's
unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really unfortunate. You know,
What's funny is what we're doing is now with everything we're generating DC out here at the tower or on the roof, converting it to AC and bringing it into the house. And then converting it back again, to DC,
back
and
to DC yeah.
in some area somewhere else in the house.
That's the reason why we do try to push the DC products that we have. You know,
oh, yeah.
If somebody, they're looking for
excellent,
a refrigerator.
Excellent segue.
Oh, my gosh. Please, please, please look into the DC appliances, especially if you're looking to do like a little tiny house and off-grid. Look for those DC appliances because I promise you a ceiling fan running in DC form versus a ceiling fan running in AC form, as far as the power consumption, you're looking at about a third.
Oh, and even the DC freezers, you would not know that we've got how many of them out there? We got 3 or 4 out there in the showroom. You would not know that they were any different than any other freezer if you were just in Home Depot looking at a freezer, those were DC freezers.
You can't tell. I mean, it looks like a standard old chest freezer, and, you know, we've actually even got the regular old upright refrigerator freezers.
And then LED lighting, which we can...
Oh, yeah. I mean, change everything as much as you can to an LED form. Most everybody knows that, but like I said, with the DC appliances, so much more efficient because you don't have to go through that conversion process. You don't have to go through literally 2 conversion processes. So you're going directly from the battery directly to the appliance and using that power, and the gauge of the wire on top of that doesn't have to be as big either. I mean, yes, distance for DC, of course.
Right, distance is always going to be an issue.
But as far as the overall gauge size, 300 watts at 12 volts, let's see, do the math. Sorry, 7
this
amps.
This is where we have creative editing and we pause for a minute.
7, 8, you find the number. So, you know, if you're looking at that, as far as a value goes, you know you're only pulling that out of the battery. And guess what? 1 or 2 solar panels on top of the roof can easily put that power back in and multiple for the entire day. As far as having a single 250-watt panel on the roof, you're going to get 6 hours. Let's say you get 6 hours of pure sun. So that's 1.5 kilowatt coming back in the battery per day, and your little refrigerator uses 300 or 400 watts. So you've got an excess of 800 or 700 watts of power. And I mean, so now you can start to see the functionality of actually having a DC appliances versus having an AC appliance where you have to go through 2 conversion processes to make that guy run.
The DC stuff, I noticed you can run a pretty good distance on that. Lights and stuff, you can run 100 foot on 12 gauge, and you can power 10 lights at the end of it. So there's really not a huge loss.
Edison got his main power grid to push 25 miles on DC. So guess what, people? It can do it. You just have to have a big enough pipe. If you've got your barn out there and it's 150 feet away, well, we figure out how much your usage is out there, and then we just size for the distance of the run. And you're still in the DC world, and you're still using, you know, regular old DC lights. If you wanted to, you could have just one little inverter out there that runs your chop saw. You ran the power out there, so now let's just hook up a little inverter and run an actual chop saw out there for 110. But all things considered, it is totally doable as far as anything that you want to do as far as powering goes with us here at Missouri Wind and Solar.
Okay. Well, anything else we need to talk about sizing? Did we miss? I know that we just talked about the one side of that, and that really was from the inverter to the appliances.
I guess as far as finding out what you need to size for, if you're sizing for an appliance, the kilowatt meter is the best option. If you're sizing for the whole house, get your utility bill. On your utility bill, it shows you exactly how much power you use, and on an average basis too. So okay. You can say, hey, well, I'm using this much this month, but where am I at 6 months from now?
Right. December is this much, and July is this much.
Yep,
and
those are the 2 months, August and January, December. Yeah, those key months, I guess, is what you want to kind of balance out.
Okay. Well, Sean, Alex, thank you both for being here today. As always, Lucy, I think Lucy was in here. She's asleep. She didn't even bother with us today. As always, we appreciate you downloading our podcast, taking the time to listen to us. Always make an offer. Please come in, buy our products, buy our stuff. That keeps us going, keeps our podcast going. We've got YouTube videos coming out. I think Chris is out about to video one today. Didn't she talk with you about?
Yeah, I think she's going
to. She's going to do a video on, I think it's a pole mount, I think is what they're.
The adjustable roof mount.
Adjustable roof mount, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got more educational videos coming out. You guys out there in the broadcast world, buying our products keeps that information coming, keeps us bringing you more information all the time. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, and as always, buy our products. We appreciate it very much.